B-Pod Studios.
John in South Jersey's on the Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I've been listening to a lot of calls. Say I'm not as bullish as everybody else is on the Eagles with two or three score victories. I think it comes down to the last possession, and I like our chances because I don't know how Trubisky's going to perform under pressure. I don't know if there's any other instances where he's had to lead a game-winning drive, and I think I like our chances, and I know Nick's proven that he can. I mean, after that Texans win, I feel confident that he'll be able to do that. If it comes down to it, I'd like our chances, but I'm not as bullish. I mean, everybody brings up that the Bears lost to the Giants, but the Eagles have some pretty bad losses as well. I mean, the Buccaneers, the Panthers.
Well, the other thing about that Bears loss to the Giants is Chase Daniel played that game.
That's the other thing, yeah. So if you're going to bring that, if you're going to bring that side of it up, then you got to bring the Eagles' ugly losses up too. And I know, so I don't think, I think it's going to be a close game. And I think if it comes down to the last possession, then I like the Eagles' chances.
Yeah, I could see that. I could talk. Listen, I feel you. I mean, I know we're having some fun. It's the playoffs, so you know we want to feel bullish, and we want to feel like put the green goggles on. But yeah. I mean, you're probably right.
I mean, it's probably a really close game. 30-13 and scores like that.
Yeah, I feel you, brother.
You've got to pump the brakes. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I know. But today, I allow that because it's Friday, man. Let go wild, you know?
Yeah. That's true.
All right, man. Enjoy the game this weekend, John.
Oh, I had a playoff.
Go ahead.
It's not technically a playoff, but I mean, it essentially was. I'm a younger guy, so in 2008 when they had to beat the Cowboys to get in and they blew the doors off of them at the link, that's one of my great Eagle memories.
It's the best. What was that? Do you remember when Romo waved the punt team back?
And then
that fumble. I forget who had that fumble recovery for a touchdown, but yeah, that's one of my greatest memories because it was win and get in and then they went and blew the doors off of them at the link. That's one of my greatest playoff-related memories.
Yeah, that you're right. It wasn't a playoff game, but it was essentially a playoff game. It was like last week. Like, you know, the Eagles needed to beat Houston and then Washington. Those were all playoff games, basically, because you were playing for your life.
Totally.
And now they're in the playoffs by virtue of a little help from Chicago. And, you know, Minnesota gets eliminated, and the Eagles are the bane of Minnesota's existence right now, last couple years, which is great.
Coming up, I want to get into Chicago a little bit.
You want to get deep dive?
Like, want to deep dive Chicago, Philadelphia versus Chicago.
You talking just Eagles Bears? No. You're talking citywide. Yeah, okay. I like doing that because I think the deep dish pizza. I know Mike wanted to send us a deep dish pizza if the Eagles win. He can just keep it. I'm not a big fan of the deep dish pie. You a deep dish pie guy?
It's
I like a Neapolitan.
Yeah, no, I could never eat it on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too heavy.
Yeah.
But, like, once in a while, I get a taste for it. Like, I mean, you know, like, I could do it once a year.
Like, what's the other big food out there?
Well, they're big with hot dogs, and they have this thing called Italian beef.
A hot dog? I mean, like a...
No, they dress up their hot dog. Chicago dog. Like, you know.
Yeah, they put, like all kinds of weird
stuff.
It's
like a big deal. Like, they have
relishes.
Yeah, like they have all kinds of things. They put these, you know, all kinds of crazy things.
So they ruin it. What they do is they ruin the hot dog because the hot dog doesn't need a lot.
And then they also have the Italian beef stands.
Okay.
And that's basically a roast beef.
Oh, that's a roast beef, not like a sausage.
They call it Italian beef.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a roast beef.
Now, is that a ballpark's like special, like at the games?
They have at the games, but they have these Italian beef stands.
Mm-hmm.
Like everywhere, like these little, like we have cheesesteak joints.
Yeah.
They have Italian beef things.
Okay, so that'd be like the cart, like on the corner of...
Well, sometimes they're like little like shops, like Geno's or, you know, whatever.
Okay,
Tim's,
okay.
Bats, Phil's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, they're down on the food pecking order, man. That's not a good food city.
It's actually a really good food city.
Well, high-end restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about the cultural food.
Well...
I mean, the deep dish pizzas, that's lame.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's got a pie crust.
Yeah, see, I'm not.
Once in a while, it's all right, but it's not like a. Like, I don't know. To me, it's not pizza.
You're a Neapolitan man, right?
I am. Yeah. So, the first time I ordered a pizza there, They're like, I don't want the deep dish. Give me the regular thin crust pizza.
Yeah.
They cut it in hors d'oeuvre style.
What do you mean? Like little thin slices?
So they cut it like 50 different pieces.
What?
Yeah.
You can't even fold it.
No. Like little tiny, like bite size.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like they'll cut a pizza into
like squares.
Rectangles that are like this.
Oh, come on.
3 inches long.
What's the matter with these people?
That's the thing. I was like, yo, what happened to my beats? I had to tell them from that, like going forward, I had to tell them.
Four cuts.
To cut it. And where I can get 8 slices.
Yeah, you just need 4 cuts.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 you're done.
No, they cut it all these different ways, yeah.
Oh, come on.
That's what, and they call, of course, the...
It's like a communist
they
land.
They call soda pop.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
I think they do that in Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah, they do. My wife calls it that sometimes. We're not in Pittsburgh, all right? It's soda here.
Yeah, that goes really from Pittsburgh...
Midwest.
All the way through the Midwest.
In Ohio.
Pop,
and all.
Pop.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do sports wise, like, you know, go back into, you know, Philly, Chicago sports wise, too.
All right. We'll
so
do that.
Throw that in the conversation with playing out the game. And one thing we have not had so far, and that is an Eagles chant in a public place.
Yeah, we need one.
We got to have that. We're live at Parks Casino. This place is outrageous. Next Thursday, 1 o'clock, Sportsbook goes live. You want to come out and hang out, and we'll be here the following Friday, and we got all kinds of games, so make sure this is a destination place for you right here at Parks Casino.
Yeah, how about another pair of tickets up for grabs for an upcoming show, too, man? Frank Caliendo going to be here February 22nd at the all-new Excite Center at Parks Casino. For all things Parks Casino, click on their website, parkscasino.com, P-A-R-X. Casino.com. Fifth caller on the contest line scores tickets to see Frank Caliendo coming up on February 22nd right now. 215-263-0975. That's the number. It's your chance to score tickets to see Frank Caliendo at the Excite Center here at Parks Casino. 215-263-0975. It is the Midday Show. We're back after this on the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Back live at Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem, in the sportsbook right here. It's going to be opening next Thursday. Jason Martinez, Anthony Gargano, and we're getting ready for the game. So we're asking, all right, we need chants. I mean, we haven't had one chant all show. It's 12:30 on now. I mean, the show's more than half over.
Yeah.
Not one chant. That depresses me. I want the town to be in a froth.
Are you sensing that the fans are a little reticent right now?
No, I don't think so. But like the organic chant, like they just, people will call up. Like, listen, I've been doing this a lot of playoffs past, right? Long time. And I love it every year. It's like a gift to me. Because I love when people, because I get excited and I want them to call. And people used to call up, they did last year. And they just called up and asked, I just want to do a chant.
Yeah. They had to get it out.
Right. Yeah.
You had to expunge it so you could go about the rest of your day. Well, look, they won the Super Bowl last year. I think people are a little kind of like, all right, let's see what this year's all about. If they win this game, they don't start to get juiced up, you know, because they're a different team than they were last year. A 13-3 team last year, home field. I think this year, people holding back a little bit.
Yeah.
So, if you're not holding back, then, hey, jump on the phone line. See what you got. Let's see if you can get that same alacrity.
You think that they're holding back?
Yeah, I do. I think everybody was a little chesty earlier in the week. It was like, yeah, we're back, man. You know, magic of falls. But I think now it's like, I think we're hearing people creating some narratives to garner some optimism. Like, the Eagles are the hottest team. who've the Bears played, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, but that's not bad.
Yeah, I know. And I read the stat yesterday. Let me give this one to you again because I think it bears repeating. Because you look at who the Eagles have played and who the Bears have played. And the Bears' record of their opponents is well under 500. I think it was like 88. I forget the exact, like 88, 110, and 2. And the Eagles' record was like the record of their opponents was 110, 91, and 1 or whatever it was. The Eagles, in other words, the Eagles played a far more difficult schedule.
Right.
When you look at the Bears' schedule, it was well under 500, their opponents in total. So, you know, that gets people juiced up. Let me give you this, though, too, Anthony, because you look at who the Bears have played when they played playoff teams, their record against playoff teams this year, 2-1 of the teams. They've beaten two of the teams that are in the field, one being the Rams, the other I got to have to look at their schedule, and they lost to one team that's in the playoff field. The Eagles' record against teams in this year's playoff field, 3-3.
Okay.
So they beat the Rams, they beat Houston. And they beat or they didn't beat Dallas. Who was the other playoff team that the Eagles beat? But they lost to three playoff teams this year as well.
So the Bears also beat Seattle.
Seattle, that's right.
And they lost to the Patriots.
Yes. So that's their 2-1. The Eagles 3-3. As I mentioned, they beat the Rams, who are in the playoffs. They beat Houston, who is in the playoffs. And the Colts are the other team that they beat way back in week, what, 2? And the playoff teams that the Eagles lost to, the 3, twice to Dallas and New Orleans, beat them 48-7. So that's how they've done against playoff teams this year. Seattle, by the way, is 2-4 against teams that have made the playoffs. Dallas is also 3-3. The Patriots, by the way, 4-0 against teams that made the playoffs this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Chiefs 2-4, Anthony.
Yeah, well, they lost to the Patriots.
Yeah, and the Chargers are 2-3. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays. It's going to be an interesting week of football.
I'm interested to see, too, you know, the Patriots. Are they mortally wounded?
Good question. We've counted them out so many times, only to count them out too soon. So we'll see. Let's get back to the phones. Let's go back to Ballard-Kenwood, shall we? We're at Parks today, but we'll go back to Ballard-Kenwood and talk to David on the Fanatic. How you doing, David?
Hey, I'm Jason and Anthony. I love your show. Absolutely love your show. I was born and raised in Chicago. Moved here from medical school a few years ago.
Oh, cool.
And, yeah. So I've been watching both the Eagles and the Bears, and I wanted absolutely no part of this team. And I think, as Jason said, the reason people in Chicago are chesty is because they have not watched this team at all, which can easily be 12-4, just like the Bears. So I think for this week, you know, if it's going to be a close game, I would never bet against Nick Foles, but it could be a blowout either way as well. So we'll see.
It really is going to be a great game. What part of Chicago are you from?
I'm from West Rogers Park.
Yeah, sure. Wow. That's awesome. Tell Jason the food's good.
Yeah, the food is okay. And I want to say one more thing about Nick Foles. I think Alshon Jeffrey was huge for the reason why he was, you know, why he did it well this year. Carson actually didn't have a bad year if you look at him statistically. But Alshon Jeffrey, if he has a good game this week, the Bears are toast.
Well, but here's the thing. I expect him, you know, as long as Foles can get the ball to him, I mean, the Bears front seven is really, really good. But the secondary, you could throw on.
Can attack that.
If you have time, You can make plays against the Bears secondary.
Yeah, if Eddie Jackson is healthy, I think they'll be in good shape. But if he's not, and the other thing about Nick Foles' bruised ribs, I mean, maybe that's the reason the line is staying at 6. But I think it's totally disrespectful to the Eagles.
Yeah, I think right it's now. Too fat. Yeah, no, Bears are good. I mean, I think that's a good team. I'm just shocked that it's 6. I would have made the Bears like 4, 4.5.
Yeah, I agree. And, again, the bruised ribs, if they're not being honest with us, that throwing motion, I can tell you I've seen it in patients, that throwing motion is going to be really difficult if he's hurting over there real bad, if it's like a microfracture or some sort of bad contusion.
The magic of Tortle.
Yeah.
Well, we shall see.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, it's dude.
Good talking to you, man.
With bruised ribs or cracked rib or whatever it is, it's, like, hard to do anything. If you cough, you're like dying, right? You ever had the bruised rib?
Yeah. No, it's horrible.
It's a horrible injury. Horrible. Anything in your
pain medicine.
And you got the Toradol is just masking it, but if you get hit in again, I mean, it's just wicked hard.
Yeah, no, I mean, that stuff wears off quick, too.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sometimes you need multiple, depending on how bad the injury is, yeah.
You like the 9-shot Toradol latte? Right? Keep loading up.
It's true.
Every time you come off the field after you punter score, you got to get a score, you got to go over and have enough more Toradol. Light them up
with
shots.
Well, certainly back in halftime, you might have to do it in halftime.
Oh, yeah. No question. Lenny and Concha Hawkins on the Fanatic. What's up, Len?
Happy Friday, playoff football, boys.
Happy Friday, brother.
All right, so I'm going to start with my Nick Foles questions here, then I'm going to go into why we're going to win and go right into my playoff moment real quick. So, red zone turnovers, Nick Foles has to cut them out. In L.A., he had a bad one. Even though we were up against Houston, he turned the ball over on our own 5, which equated to a red zone turnover for them. And last week, he threw another red zone interception. So he needs to eliminate those red zone turnovers, whether it's creating a red zone opportunity for them or eliminating a red zone opportunity for us. Those were brutal. And the second point is Nick Foles did go out to L.A. and win this game. 100% agree, but it was an Eagles crowd. The Chicago crowd is not going to be an Eagles crowd. When has Nick Foles gone on the road against a Tennessee crowd and won on the road?
That's good. A fair point. That's a fair point, brother. You're right.
So that's one of my concerns. No, we're not going to be able to come from Chicago. So we're going to be there, but we're not going to take over and dominate.
No, you're not
taking over Soldier
not
Field.
That's a great fan base. Yeah.
We're not going to dominate like we did in the Super Bowl because the Patriots fans were already tired of seeing the same old stuff, so we dominated. When they came out, that was our crowd. That being said, I believe the Eagles are going to win this game for two big purposes. One, our interior pass rush has gotten significantly better since Nada's come back. And since Jernigan has come back. The second reason is because of our tackling on the outside. Rasul Douglas has been a monster on the outside. I truly believe that the tackling from the cornerbacks, the DBs, or the safeties are contributing to our pass rush and allowing us to do what we really want to do. Now, that's going to lead me right into my Eagles point here. I believe Rasul Douglas, put it on the board with me right here, Rasul gets a pick six. Put it on the board, bank it, take it home, bet it.
Like Alito.
Put it on the board. I like it. I like it, brother.
That's going to lead me to my moment. 2008, divisional round, Minnesota Vikings. Vikings come down, AP busts a 40-yard run. We couldn't do anything. We're just kicking field goal after field goal. Then all of a sudden, my man Tavares Jackson finds my man Asante streaking down the sidelines. Boom, pick six, baby. Yeah. Eagles!
Oh, man, there we go. That's a real chance.
He goes in the mixer caller of the week, too. That was a great call.
Tavares Jackson.
Wow. And Asante Samuel picking that game member. Wow. That brings you back, right?
Look, they're showing fog bowl.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Look to your left.
Yeah, look at that.
They're showing fog bowl pictures.
December 31st, 1988.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to the man right now, man. We love chatting. We're checking in with him every football Friday. He joins us right now on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim McManus from ESPN.com. T-Mac, it's playoff time, brother. You feeling it?
I'm feeling it. I think the birds are feeling it. And certainly the city of Philadelphia is feeling it. I mean, this is kind of borrowed time that this team is on. Nobody really saw this coming, but 5-6 to close it out. Nick Foles catches fire down the stretch. Chicago gives a little assist and knocking out Minnesota, and then gets rewarded by inviting one of the hottest teams in football into their backyard on Sunday.
Yeah.
Assist, I like that.
Isn't it true? Like, of all teams, man, you would not want to play the Eagles right now. You would not want to play. There's something in magic. You follow this team. What's the magic like as compared to last year?
I mean, there is a similar feeling that's starting to come around this building because they're playing definitely their best football of the year. And a lot of the reasons why they had the success last season was because the offensive and defensive lines played really well. And the quarterback, both Carson Wentz and Nick Foles played out of their mind. And, of course, we know what Foles did in the postseason. And we're seeing kind of a recurrence of that. I think that the defensive front for this team has absolutely turned it up a notch or two or three, and the offensive line is as healthy as it's been and is protecting as well as it has all year. In fact, you know, they are number one in pass protection right now over the last 3 weeks.
Wow.
With just a 17% pressure rate for Foles. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are starting to look pretty familiar with this club.
Hey, Tim, when I look at the success over that 5-6 that you mentioned, and when now that Foles is in there, you look at Alshon Jeffrey and the fact that they got Darren Sproles back. Those are two huge factors heading into this game.
Yeah, totally, man. I think with Jeffrey, I just looked at his numbers. So with the three games with Foles, he's averaging 5 catches for 100 yards.
Wow.
And we've seen a pretty significant uptick in his production. And you could see, he was pretty chilly towards Chicago when he was asked about them this week. He said, you know, Philadelphia, I love. Chicago is just a place where I worked. Yeah, so he's kind of got this, this mentality that Nelson Agholor calls like a star basketball who wants a player who wants the last shot, who's got that killer instinct.
And
you can
Butler.
Kind of feel, you can kind of feel Jeffrey in that way, and that
that's
he rises
analogy.
To the occasion. Yeah,
that's
and he's ready. Yeah, he's ready for a big moment. And I think Sproles is definitely right to point out too. You know, he gets kind of overlooked because of what Foles
not
done.
Here.
But yeah. But the offense has really looked a whole lot better, hasn't it, since he got back in the lineup?
I don't know. I've been calling for him. Frustrated me in the Dallas game that he wasn't used. But anyway, let me ask you about this Bears defense and how you attack the Bears defense. So when you look at that side of the ball, their front seven's really good. Now, you can make plays against your secondary. But how do you think the Eagles can attack that Bears defense?
Well, number one, I think it's an incredible challenge that they're up against because they have strength on strength on strength. They're number one in just about every statistical category, including opponent points per game, rush yards per game, turnovers, average yards per attempt. I mean, you name it, you know, the Bears are kind of the supreme defense across the board. I think that the way that they have to do it is, number one, make sure that Khalil Mack isn't too much of a problem. And so I think that they're going to be giving assistance to, whether it's Jason Peters or Lane Johnson, depending on where Mack lines up, via the tight ends and the running backs, especially early, to make sure that he doesn't get off and just entirely wreck the game. You know, the second part falls on Foles. And one thing that he has done exceptionally well in the three games that he's played in replacement of Carson Wentz has gotten the ball out really fast. He's number two in the NFL in that department over the last three games, 2.46 seconds on average. And so he's seeing it and he's reading and he's reacting, and it's working really well for this offense. You know, the problem is that not only do you have a ferocious attack that the Bears bring at you, but also complicated defensive schemes and multiple schemes that can confuse a quarterback. That's going to be the cat and mouse game. Can Foles identify what's going on in the secondary and continue to get the ball out quickly and in enough time so Mack isn't crushing them? I mean, that's
a great point.
That's, really
that's what hurt Goff. Goff got rattled, and Goff got picked off four times because he didn't see the disguises.
Exactly, yeah. So I think that's, you know, that's really what this game is going to boil down to for me is whether Foles can decode in time to keep up that kind of pace that has worked really well for this offense.
Yeah, he can lean back to last year when he decoded the Minnesota defense, Tim, which was great. But you guys do a conference call with the head coach of the opposition, and what is the vibe that you're getting out of Nagy and Trubisky and how they're feeling heading into this situation? Their win got the Eagles into the playoffs, and obviously the history between Nagy and Doug Peterson falling out of that Andy Reid tree is well documented. How do you think that they're approaching this football game coming in to face the Super Bowl champion Eagles?
Yeah, Nagy talked about that on the conference call, about the fact that he did play to win against the Vikings, and he said there's just too many other factors to kind of go, you can't, and that you can't really go like 50% or 75% in this league. Like, bad things can happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so he just decided to go pedal to the floor, and will it come back to bite him? We'll find out on Sunday. Certainly, he's got a healthy respect for what Foles brings to the table. He was one of the guys early in on looking at the Foles tape with Doug Peterson, with Andy Reid, and they ultimately made the decision to go out and be the only team to work out Foles back in the day when he was coming out of Arizona. So he knows what he's capable of, and he certainly knows a whole lot about the system that Peterson runs and how effective that can be. Nagy has taken pages from the Kansas City playbook. He's taken pages from the Oregon playbook. You see a lot of the run options, read options, those kind of things. And he's taken pages from the Rams, defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz said. So he's really done an exceptional job at mixing things up.
He's a good coach.
He's a confident coach, man. And he thinks
his scripts are really good.
Yeah, no, they're excellent. Yeah, and so he wants to follow in Peterson's footsteps. He said, and follow him right to a Super Bowl, just like Peterson did last year.
That's an interesting matchup, those two. In many ways, it's going to be the whoever has the better script, the better game plan, could win this game. And I think it's having two friends pitted one against one another is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that, Nagy has, as you pointed out, Andy, he's done an exceptional job getting this team off to a fast start. And, of course, that plays into the hands of a really good defense. And, Mitch Trubisky is a wild card in this game because it's his first playoff game. Doesn't have a lot of experience. He's not really all that heralded. But his numbers aren't bad. He's completed 67% of his throws, 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He runs the ball. He has over 400 yards with his feet. He does get involved in the read option game. And he's done generally a pretty good job being the maestro of this offense, and obviously has some weapons, namely in the running back department, that he can lean on as well. So it will be a fascinating matchup.
Talking with Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline.
Yeah, Timmy, real quick, just on the Eagles defensive side, when you look at Trubisky, and we were talking to a buddy of mine from Chicago yesterday, and he brought up Trubisky's legs as an issue, and that he can, on a 3rd and 8, 9, he can use his legs to go pick up a first down, or he can get out of the pocket. How do you think Schwartz is going to handle that? Because it's funny, because he's kind of sneaky mobile that way.
Yeah, well, I would say number one, it's on the mind of this team. I think they definitely recognize that as a potential problem. And if you look at their leading rushers, they got Tariq Cohen and they got Howard, and then Trubisky is right there. He has been effective in that way. I think the fortunate thing for Schwartz is that they've faced a number of mobile quarterbacks, so this defense has experience in trying to contain that. I don't know that we're going to see a spy. I don't know that he's that dangerous where you have to designate a single player to Trubisky, but they have to be cognizant of that. They have to recognize in their pass rush, the way that linebackers attack, that they're certainly the kind of wild card option of Trubisky using his legs, and you just simply have to account for it.
Yeah, I mean, we know about Cohen because he's a mirror kind of a poor man Sproles, and look, Jordan Howard can still run the ball, so you got to stop the run first.
Yeah, Howard's their leading rusher. He's got 9 touchdowns, and Cohen does a little bit of everything for you, and I think that he's just a matchup issue because he can go out and wide receiver, and the way that Jenkins was describing him is that most running backs, when they get split out, they usually have like one or two routes that they can do. But Cohen has access to the entire route tree. That's just kind of how he is as a receiver. And so they can use him in multiple ways, and he also returns punts for him. So you're gonna see him, and that's, of all the matchups, if you look at the Eagles linebackers versus Cohen, there you go. That's a huge one.
Yeah. Hey, Tim, what's your prediction? How's it play out on Sunday at Soldier Field? Eagles, Bears, wild card weekend.
Yeah, I've been bouncing back and forth on this one all week, and I think it's going to be one that comes down to the wire. I think it's going to be a tight game. Over the last couple of days, I've started leaning towards Philly. And the reason is...
Really? That's awesome.
We'll see how it plays out. I think that they got their hands full, but I do like sort of the quiet confidence that has been emanating from the head coach and the players in the locker room. I like the fact that they are playing basically with house money. They got nothing to lose. They're going to play freely. I like the fact that their offense and the defensive line are the strength of this team, and that the offensive line can at least help mitigate some of the destruction that the Bears attack can put on an opponent. And then there's Foles, right? Possibly wearing the Eagles jersey for the last time, playing out of his mind, got the Super Bowl MVP swagger back, and it's going to be a heck of a drama, I think, at Soldier Field to see the number one defense in the nation going up against the hottest quarterback and the best postseason quarterback statistically since 2013. So I think we're all in for a treat for a really good game.
Wow. Well, Tim, we appreciate it. Safe travels out to Chicago, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Yep, there he is. Tim McManus. Yeah. Wow. How about that?
So he likes it. He's feeling it. He's feeling the confident coach and the confident quarterback.
I think the thing that he brought up the most is that resonates with me is that the Eagles' offensive line over the last 3 weeks is the number one ranked offensive line with 17 quarterback pressures, 17%. And the word he uses, with the way that offensive line is playing now, it mitigates the damage that Chicago can throw at you up front. Boy.
That's big. Now, but let me ask you though. I mean, you know, does Washington skew those numbers?
Yeah, probably. I mean, Kerrigan's good. You know, still
playing the dead Washington team.
Yeah, they were dead and buried. I mean, they had their fifth string quarterback out there, so they knew that they weren't in it to win it.
You know, obviously the Texans have a great line.
Yeah, and Clowney and J.J. Watt. Now you're right, but you did see Aaron Donald. Beyond that, so I mean, you saw some players.
No. I mean, listen. I think this line has the bones of a really, really accomplished line. I mean, Kelce when he gets out is a hell of a center, and you know, obviously your tackles. You know, I mean, Lane's playing back to that level,
all pro style.
You know, both guards are underrated.
Yeah. Well, it's good. Man, I can't wait for Sunday. 440.
Yeah. I know.
That's crazy.
440 is awesome.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. We'll get back to the business coming up. Stay tuned. Final hour of the show on the way as well. It is a Football Friday, which, by the way, is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. It is the Midday Show. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so let me tell you a little bit about the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Yeah, look, it's the new year upon us. It's a big-time weekend coming up, right? I mean, wild-card weekend, and you look at the games, and you like Houston and Indianapolis. I think Houston's got a shot there. I like Seattle against Dallas. I really like the Chargers against Baltimore. I mean, you have the sportsbook app right there, and then Monday night, you got a monster between Alabama and Clemson, and there it is, championship going on. So the DraftKings offers a wide variety of bets, from the totals to point spreads all the way to player props and live bets. And, you know, you can bet on whether or not Jimmy Butler can score enough points. With over $7.5 million in bets placed to date, there's a reason why people love DraftKings Sportsbook app. It's easy to use. You can place a bet wherever, whenever. DraftKings based right here in the United States, not offshore, so you know exactly where your funds are. The safe and secure DraftKings Sportsbook is the number one mobile sportsbook app in New Jersey. And here's the deal. It's a new year, so new users will get their first bet matched not up to $200, but up to $500. That's right. For a limited time, DraftKings will instantly match your first bet up to $500 when you use code FANATIC and sign up on DraftKings.com or on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. That's code FANATIC when you sign up. DraftKings will instantly match your first bet up to $500. No gimmicks, no playthrough requirements. Just a happy new year from DraftKings. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Restrictions apply.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
So many people counted us out, but at the same time, and all the guys in this locker room believed that we still had a chance at this thing. We still had a chance to get in the postseason, and our goal was not just to get into the postseason, man. We just need to focus and take it game by game, man, because we were going against a really good football team on Sunday.
All right, welcome back to Parks Casino right here on Street Road in Ben Salem. Fletcher Cox, and look, I mean, that's... No one expected you because you got in on the last day thanks to the Bears beating the Vikings. That's why, you know, it was a tough road, man.
Needed help.
You know, it was a difficult road. But Again, I think what the beauty of it is the magic returned. Like, you saw the magic come back to this team. And it coincided with Foles. And like that story, I'm so fascinated by how he's going to play. Because this is a difficult spot for him. Caller brought it up. First time truly on the road. Right? The magic last year happened at home.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl was an Eagles crowd. Rams was an Eagles crowd. It really was. This is the first time he's going to face a really difficult setting.
Yeah.
On the road, in Chicago. Again, it's not a great, you know, track for the offense, the field. I'll see. The weather still looks temperate. But it's a big test for him, man. Against a great defense. Like, in a really nasty front. That could change, you know, it's going to change it. So, he's going to have to, Tim McManus brought up the idea of decoding that Bears defense. So, this is a huge test for Nick. And if he passes this one, then it's one of those things where if he wins this game, he ain't losing.
Ride it all the way.
I'm serious. Like, if he plays well in this game, This is a nasty spot.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, they can win despite him, but if he plays well, like, he's not losing.
Yeah, up against it, on the road, great defense. You're right, there's a lot of notches that would make this a very impressive performance if he goes out there and plays really well. I mean, his resume is ridiculous already. But this would be a big one on the road. Let's get back to the phones and go to, how about Lewis and Penn Salkin joining us on the Fanatic. How you doing, Lou?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Great, man.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Sweet Lou.
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to talk about, defining Nick Foles. And what I was thinking was the fact that I think part of the reason why people can't really get a handle of who he is because in today's society, everything, we live in a technology age where everything is so quick. So we also in sports like to we gravitate to the prodigy. So now, you know, we love the youth. So what's happening is though, if guys come in any league now, NBA, NFL, whatever, if they don't come out as booms, then we label them as busts. And it's like no gray area. We don't allow.
Oh my God! Look at Ben Simmons, the criticism that Ben's gotten.
We don't allow guys anymore to mature, to develop, to grow. And guess what? Sometimes, and you talk about Ben, sometimes you have to, and even with Nick, sometimes you have to get your head handed to you to make you rethink who you are and what you can do and what you can't do. You understand what I'm saying? So what happens is we're so quick to define who people are that we don't give an allowance for people to mature and to come into bloom and later on in their career. So to me, I think he's a sum total of whatever he's going through, whether it was the Rams, with the Eagles at first, and now, you know, with KC and them. And so he's now being able to understand how to be who he is. You know what I mean? He's comfortable.
I agree with that.
Whatever you want to say, he's comfortable now in his shoes. And yeah,
The other converse of that, too, is, like you said, sometimes you got to have it handed to you. You know, where you take some lumps before you can have success. Trubisky hasn't taken those lumps yet in the playoffs.
He hasn't.
Yeah, that's another part.
And real quick, if you look at the history of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, only Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Joe Namath have won it 25 years or younger. Everyone else is 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. People don't really understand
that. I agree with you. The only thing from that Bears perspective is they're not looking for Trubisky to win the game for him. They're looking for him not to lose the game.
Exactly. But I just, to be honest with you, I feel as though it's going to be 17-14. I see the Eagles win. That's
yeah,
the
I like it.
Wow.
I can totally
I see
that.
17-14.
I can totally. Listen,
all right, y'all.
Thanks, Lou. See you, brother.
Losing the next caller of the week.
I can totally see that. I can totally see that kind of score. Eagles win. You know, that's where the Foles thing comes in. You know, orchestrates a drive, big play to Alshon, setting up a game-winning field goal. I mean, that's all plausible.
Yeah. He doesn't panic in those situations, Ant. He's calm.
No.
Let's squeeze him before we get to the brand line. Let's get to T-Will in Jersey. What's up, T-Will?
What's going on, fellas?
Football, how you doing, brother?
Friday, playoff Friday, yeah?
That's right, brother.
That's right, brother.
That's right, brother.
Hey, listen, man, why could you sit next? How can you sit next to Jason and let him defame Chicago deep dish and the hot dog? What's that place in Chicago, right downtown, right off the Miracle Mile, where they have like that little place? It's kind of like the Redden Terminal, but smaller. Where they got the Italian beef in there.
Yeah,
the
hot dogs in there.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's so famous you can't remember the name.
No, you're right. No, you're right.
Thank you. It's good.
You're right.
It's a good place. So, Martinez, get out of your own way once in a while. Call places that you never even been to.
They got a deep dish pizza and a hot dog. I mean, you got to go a little deeper than that for me, dude. I'll go Seattle over that. I don't even like seafood.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man.
Something's wrong with you, man. Something's wrong with you.
Try to have a little fun. You take everything so serious, T-Will. Take a pill and lighten up a little bit, all right?
I'll take the blue chew that you guys are promoting. How about that, all right? Listen, the reason I want to build off what the callers just said. The callers are saying that Nick hasn't been in a big spot and are absolutely correct. That's why I come back to my comment the other day. It's a must that the Eagles score first. They got to score first because Doug is a different play caller when the Eagles score first. You know, get our defense loose and ready. You know, we get our offense ready. I think we should come out no huddle, attack Khalil Mack. You know, Lane Johnson did a good job with him when Oakland came here last year, so I'm not really too concerned about that. But the X factor we have this year is Sproles, where we didn't have him last year.
Yeah, so Sproles is big.
Yeah, so, man, we got to get Sproles in the mix. We got to get him involved. And
I like the idea of tempo
first.
Too. I'm with you.
T-Will, if you win the coin toss, you taking the ball or are you deferring?
Here's the thing. Since I'm on the road, I want to take the ball because I want to shut that crowd up early. So I want to take the ball down and go tempo and go down and score first. Yeah. Any other time, though, I would defer to the second half. But just for the spot we're in, because that puts pressure on Trubisky. You know, he's still on the sideline. He's watching us go down the field 7, 8, 9 minutes, you know, 9, 10, 11 plays, getting that defense gas.
All right, here's the counter. Here's the counter, because that's a great argument. Now, the counter is Trubisky is really amped, young quarterback, easily can go three and out. You then get a chance to go shorter field, and you get the ball second half.
Which way you want to go?
Thanks, T-Will.
That's awesome.
That's a tough decision. It really is a tough decision on how you want to handle the opening coin toss if you win it.
I know. I'm thinking I'm going to defer.
Yeah, and you're usually always like, give me the ball,
I
guy.
I want the ball. But
give me the ball.
But having Trubisky with the ball first, I like that. I mean, you brought that up. I just think I know he's going to be amped up. And I would be surprised if he went right down the field. I don't see it.
Yeah.
So assuming I'm protecting the opening drive, which I think I can, I take the ball. And again, if it's three and out, even better, because now I got an even better field position, and I got the kick second half.
Yeah, and then you go for that late first half points, and then get the ball back, more points and successive possessions.
That would be the double.
Yeah, that's the double the discount double check. It's for Aaron Rodgers.
Now, Jason, the one thing I don't want to mess with, I don't want to mess with the extra point deal.
No, let's go
like
chalk.
Like going for twos. I don't want to do that.
Let's leave the analytics guy at home.
I don't want to do that because here's the deal. I don't want to get into like losing the game because you're up against a good defense and you went for two and you didn't make it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, especially because this could be like a 17-14 game.
Right.
Those points are even more
extend
accentuated.
Extend the game.
No question about it. You listen to 97.5, the Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station. We're broadcasting from Parks Casino today, and what was formerly the 360 Lounge has now been converted into the all-new sports book.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.